Our theme this month has been light. We've been talking about light in all different ways, and especially around Christmas time, when we think of lights and candles and leading up to Jesus being the light of the world. And we're going to talk some more about light today. And then at the end of our service, as I've mentioned, we're going to take a short break, and then we're going to go outside, and we've invited the community to come for a prayer vigil for peace that we're going to do right outside of the corner here. We left our little tent up, and each one of you is going to be invited to take a candle here and go outside for that. And that starts at 11:45, so that's kind of where we're headed this morning. But I thought it would be really fun to preach from one of the Psalms this morning, so I'm going to invite Alyssa to come up, and Alyssa's going to read for us the scripture this morning. She's going to read, I guess you can use this one if you want, you don't have to. Psalm 27. So if anybody has their own Bible and you want to follow along, it's Psalm 27 this morning.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Savior. Though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for the false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Amen. The Word of God, it's so much fun to work from the Psalms because the Psalms are very poetic and creative. They're songs, actually, that were written mostly by King David, but by other people as well. If you look at any Bible that you have, it's the largest part of your Bible. In fact, if you were to try to open your Bible right to the middle, there's a good chance you would just end up in the Psalms. There's 150 of them of all different lengths. Most of them written about 3,000 years ago. So you talk about really ancient songs. That's what's there. Sometimes I wish we still had the music for some of these songs, just to hear what it would sound like, you know, what kind of instruments they were playing, what kind of tones they were creating. But the words of these songs have lasted this long, and they're in the Bible, which means, God, they're not just, you know, songs that people wrote, because people are writing songs since the beginning of time, right? I mean, some people just sing all the time. They're like a walking musical. But, you know, people are creating songs as a culture, as groups of people. But these songs somehow, you know, got put in and said, these are the ones that should inspire and inform all of our other songs, you know? And I've always thought in a lot of church history, for those of you who've been around church a lot, you know, sometimes we like to debate and question and even argue about the type of songs that we should use. And I've always thought the Psalms trump any debate because that's the Word of God. So if your song is based on the Psalms or you're speaking about what's there, then that should trump anything else. And so, in fact, maybe we need more people. This would be a great song, right, to put words to. But what we do that. In fact, most people don't realize that a lot of songs we sing are words taken from, you know, and some of you might have even remembered a song or two from the verse that was read, one thing I ask and that I seek, that I would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Many of these verses have been put to songs. And because they're songs, sometimes just a phrase or a part of it can be so powerful, right? So even though we're going to look at the whole song, you can take just a bit of it and you can get a whole lot out of it because it's encouraging and it's inspiring. I want to look at a few of those things this morning because it does talk about the Lord being my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Let me say a couple more things just before we dive into it. One is that about this word, the Lord. Whenever you see the word, the Lord, in the Hebrew scriptures, especially the Psalms, and it's all capitalized, it means Yahweh. Yahweh was the name of God that was his own personal name for the Israelites, for the ancient Jewish people. And it was distinguishing from every other god that people worship. So all the gods had a name. Well, God's name was Yahweh. It was revealed to them through Moses in the burning bush when Moses said, I need to tell the people that I'm going to who sent me. And he said, you tell them that I am sent you. And I am is the word that's translated Yahweh. It's usually written YHWH without the vowels. It's so sacred that the Jewish people wouldn't even say it or even want to write it because it was a sacred name of God. It was almost like the sound of breath. It was a very basic, I am, I am. It's just existence itself. This is God. This was his name. So you see that capital L-O-R-D, all caps, that's Yahweh. That's to distinguish him as this is the God that we serve. This is the one that is my light, my salvation. Because someone else might say, Zeus is my light and my salvation. Or Baal is my light and my salvation. Or today, Justin Bieber is my light and my salvation. Whatever God we want to serve or worship, it's okay, you can laugh at that. You can laugh at church. Well, maybe that's not funny. Wait till there's something funny. This is the God that we're going to serve. This is the God that we're going to trust in. This is the one that we are distinguishing from all others. So I want to say that word about Yahweh, that he is my light and my salvation. He is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now, another little bit about me, just for your personal interest story. I really like poetry, which is kind of an unknown thing. I don't go around spouting poetry, but who really does? They'd be locked up. But I do like poetry, and I've always loved it, and I love the poetry of the Psalms and of this part of the Bible. And in Hebrew poetry, they would have this really cool little device that they would use called a chiasm. But basically what they do is they structure the poem like a little pyramid so that the beginning and the end were the same, and then the next two parts in were the same, and then however until they got to the middle, then the middle is what was really important. So you can kind of think of it like a sandwich, all right? You have two pieces of bread, the same piece of bread, right? And then you have like maybe a piece of lettuce on each side, I don't know how you do, and then in the middle, you have, you know, the most important thing, which is, you know what? The roast beef, right? Vegetarian, the cheese, the really good, okay, you're vegan, the eggplant. Whatever it is that's in the middle, I mean, that's the part that you're really, that's the part that's the center of what you're doing. And then so you can imagine the bread and two pieces of lettuce and maybe two pieces of cheese and then the meat in the middle. So this psalm is structured like that. The two pieces of bread are the first and the last verse, which talk about courage, right? And confidence. That we can have strength in the Lord, that we can be confident in the Lord, that we can have courage in the Lord. It's about the Lord being the light of my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? That the Lord will show his goodness. That we can be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. That there is safety, that there is security, that there is power in the Lord. And then in the next part, you'll notice it talks about how David has these enemies, the wicked that come against me. And then he talks again down towards the bottom about that there's oppressors and false witnesses and people that are trying to speak maliciously against him. And that's kind of the next thing in. So if you want to know what the most important thing is of the psalm, or the most important message it's trying to do, you need to go right to the middle. So in a psalm that's roughly 14 verses, the middle is right about verse 7 or verse 8, okay? Right? And it says, verse 7 says, hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart says, if you seek his face, your face, O Lord, will I seek. So seeking the Lord. Seeking the Lord is kind of the main part of this. How do we seek the Lord? So I'm going to talk a little bit about these elements of this really great sandwich this morning. I want to talk about how we can have courage and confidence in the Lord. And I want to talk about what it means to have a relationship with God, to know that. Because you need to have a relationship with God if you're going to know that courage and that confidence that he provides. First of all, if the Lord, the true Lord, the living God, is the stronghold of our life, then we need to fear nothing. And let me say one more thing as well, is that when we believe in this church, you know, that Jesus Christ, as most Protestant Christians believe, that he was the very representation of the very God who was the I Am. In fact, Jesus said at one point, I am, and that got everyone all upset because they're like, how can you claim to be the holy God? He said, well, I am the holy God. I have come straight from God, and I am God. So when I say Jesus Christ and God, they're interchangeable for me, and I just want you to know that. And it may not be true for everybody, but for me, Jesus Christ and the one true God are interchangeable. So when I say we have confidence in God, I know that we have confidence in Jesus Christ, okay? But you have to know him. You have to know him and have a relationship with him, right? To have confidence in them. And he says that David says we should have courage. If we know the Lord, if the Lord is with us, if the Lord is our stronghold, then we need not to fear anything, right? Even these enemies that come against me. Now, David had legitimate enemies. Today, we don't necessarily have legitimate enemies, although sometimes we do. But David, you know, literally had enemies, other countries coming against him. Because the country then was a theocracy, was run by God. Today we don't have those things necessarily. And sometimes I think we make a mistake of thinking that we have enemies when we really don't. Because what can they really do to you? You know, what can that enemy really do to you? Today we have all kinds of enemies. We have spiritual enemies. We have different things that we call enemies. We probably relate more to the end of the psalm when it talks about there are people who speak bad against us and try to accuse us. Have you ever had someone speak bad against you? Have you ever had someone try to spread rumors about you or to say things that weren't true? Or to say things that were true, but just do it in a way that makes you look really bad? Right? And that feels like an enemy, right? Or when someone betrays you, those are the enemies. And sometimes when that's going on, we read these verses and we're like, yeah, I understand how he feels. But there are these people that are out to get me. There are these people that are against me. But in those situations, the answer should be that your confidence and your strength and your safety come from God. Right? There's not a reason for someone who knows the Lord, who knows Jesus Christ, to be in fear anymore. And I say that strongly because there's so many people that are living in fear. And so many people that are afraid in this day and age. And they're afraid that what's bad is happening in the world is going to happen to me too. And what if it does happen to me? And I want to say, what if it does happen to you? What did Jesus Christ do? What did he ultimately do? He died. So what's the worst that anybody could do to you? Nothing, because they can kill you. But if they kill you, what is the hope of Christ? That we won't die, that we'll be raised again, that we'll live forever. You know? And I always think, and I'm sorry, but it is Star Wars, and we're in my Christmas Star Wars time. I always think in my mind of Obi-Wan Kenobi saying, strike me down, and I'll become more powerful than you can imagine. You know, he's not afraid to die. But it makes me think of the Apostle Paul in the Bible. He says, I'm not afraid of dying either. In fact, sometimes I'd rather die and be with Jesus, right? Amen. But he's like, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. He's like, listen, we're considered to be killed all day long, he says in Romans. Like, we're just like sheep to people. People are after us, trying to slaughter us right and left. He says, but nothing will separate us from the love of God. Absolutely nothing. He has this confidence that just takes him from place to place. He doesn't even have to fear. And how many of us Christians are really afraid for our lives? Are we really afraid for our lives? Today we're going to take a pause and we're going to remember that there are some people very close to us who are. Because if you have somebody you know that gets shot and killed, that does something to you. That does affect you. And you need to answer this question, because then that becomes a question. Where is the stronghold of my life? Where is my protection? Where is my safety? And people are going to make a choice, right? When we make a choice that our safety and our protection is in God, then we can be people of peace. When we decide that it's going to be in our own strength or what we're going to do to get back to somebody, then we become men and women of violence. And so we have a choice to make. And I believe that choice is very dependent upon where we put our hope and where we put our trust. And today I want to proclaim that this song that was written 3,000 years ago says, put your trust in the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait patiently for the Lord. Remember we talked about waiting? Last week, when we talked about waiting, how sometimes, you know, you got to wait your whole life to see something, how sometimes God takes a few hundred years to do something. I mean, there is a matter of waiting. But what do you do, even if you were to know that things weren't going to happen in your lifetime? You should still seek the Lord, right? That's what he's saying in all of these situations. Seek the Lord. Seek the presence of the Lord. So here's the three things I want to share about having that relationship with God. You need to become aware of his presence. You need to spend some time in adoration, which is praise and worship. And you need to accept that he loves you and he receives you. So awareness, adoration, and acceptance. Awareness. First of all, he says, listen, the best thing that I could do is to be in the temple of the Lord and to gaze on the beauty of the Lord. How many of you have gazed on the beauty of the Lord? There's so many ways we can do that. How many of you have seen his creation? How many of you have been out of his creation, whether it be the oceans or the mountains or somewhere on the edge of the world or even just in your own backyard, and you've been struck by the beauty of what God has created? That's just a glimpse of the one who created it. He's beautiful. He's a beautiful creator. And everything that he's created is beautiful. The only thing that mars it is sin and evil and ugliness, right? And especially when people don't think that they're beautiful. I'm telling you, you're beautiful. You know, God spoke through One Direction. I'm sorry, but he did. Okay? He does that sometimes. Remember, he also spoke through a donkey, so you can leave that where you want it, okay? But he said you're beautiful, and you don't even know it because God created you beautiful. And each one of you are, but you're a reflection of how beautiful God is. And yes, we long for those moments, right, when we can have that actual glimpse of God. And I hope and pray that all of you will get that. I've had that a few times in my life, to actually with my physical eyes see something beautiful in the glory of God. But often it's in our spirit, right? It's with our spiritual eyes. It's with our whole being that we sense this presence of God. Sometimes it overwhelms us as a feeling. Sometimes it's a vision. Sometimes it's something that we can't explain. But we find ourselves in the presence of God, right? Because remember, the temple, we no longer have to go to one city and one temple to worship. But the presence of God is here with us, filling this place. That as we've gathered, the Holy Spirit has come, and this has become a place where His presence dwells. And you started to sense it when we were singing, and that's why it's important to sing and praise. So we need to become aware of His presence. Have you been practicing His presence? We talked about that. Have you been actually thinking, God is with me? Actually picturing Jesus walking with you in your life so that you can begin to understand that He is there and He'll begin to reveal that to you. You need to keep doing that. And that's why for so many of us, praise and worship through music brings us into the presence of God. Because music has a way of getting past all of our intellectual doubts and all of the barriers that we put up. And it has a way of just getting inside of us, right? And moving us in our spirit and allowing us to access the God who is spirit. And the God who is full of music, right? The Bible says that the Lord is singing over you. That He takes great delight in you and He rejoices over you with singing. The Revelation says that God's voice sounds like many rushing waters, which I don't know if you've ever heard just the sound of rushing waters, but there's a musicality to it. I believe that God is constantly singing. I believe that when God created the earth, He was singing. That He didn't just say, let there be light. But in some way, wouldn't it be awesome to hear that? In some way, it probably sounded more like a song than anything else when He started speaking and things came into existence. And He's continuing to do that. And one of the things that is so important for us, but so important for David, why the Psalms are in the center of the Bible, why they're the biggest book of the Bible, is that praise and worship and adoration is important. It's life-giving. I don't understand it. Like food, like water, like sleep, like love. There's something about music and praise and worship and adoration that we need, that we're created for, that our souls are made for. And we come together. That's why coming together is so beautiful. Because, you know, some of us don't sing so well. So when we're on our own, we feel like I'm not singing that well. It doesn't matter. You're on your own. It's okay. But we come and other people sing, and it sounds beautiful, and it lifts us up, right? And that's where we can encounter the presence of God in such meaningful ways. And David knew that. He said, man, I just want to be in the temple where they're worshiping God. I want to be where the presence of God is, because I know that not only is that the safest place to be, but that's the absolute best place to be, that it's full of beauty and it's full of joy. So we need to become aware of God's presence. We need to spend time in adoration. And then finally, I want to talk about this little piece of acceptance. And it's interesting, if you look with me at verse 7 and 8 again, especially verse 8, it says, my heart says, if you seek His face, your face, O Lord, will I seek. And then he has this request, do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger, for you have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Savior. Do not reject me or forsake me. The reason he wants to see God's face is because seeing God's face is a sign of approval. It's a sign of approval. To see God's face means that He welcomes you, He accepts you, and He bestows a blessing upon you. And where does that come from? Well, that comes from one of the most ancient blessings that we have in the entire world. And it's the blessing that God told the priest to give to the people of Israel way back in the book of Numbers. And some of you have heard this before. It's the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. So basically, if the face of the Lord was to turn towards you, then you would have all blessing, all shalom, all peace, all goodness. Everything would be yours. Because the face of the Lord would be upon you. The face of the Lord would be looking at you. I love the way the Message puts this. Just so raw. It says, God bless you and keep you. God smile on you and gift you. God look you full in the face and make you prosper. And that's God look you full in the face. God Himself looking at you That's the blessing that we're supposed to give to our children and to each other for generations and generations until Jesus comes again and we see him fully face to face. Amen?
Amen.
You need to reclaim this blessing in your family and your friends. You know, pray that God's face would shine upon you, that he would look you full in the face, that he would bless you, that you would know that you're accepted. Remember I talked about maybe just needing even just one verse out of this? It says, even though my mother and father may reject me. And so if you know what it's like to have your father and mother reject you, and even though I may have people that are against me and say things against me, and we know what that's like, to have people turn against us, to say bad things about us, we know rejection, because rejection comes all the time. And rejection comes in many ways, shapes, and forms. Every time we feel like I'm not good enough, or we're told that we're not good enough, or we feel like we don't belong, or we're not worthy, or I don't deserve this, or I don't belong there. That's not godly repentance. Godly repentance is when you say, I've had enough. I'm turning around and making a decision to walk in a different direction. That's repentance. But sitting there feeling like I'm not worthy, I'm stupid, I'm worth nothing, that's not godly repentance. That's the lies of the enemy. That's the lies of Satan. That's the manipulation of other people to put you down. I've met a dear friend the last couple of weeks. A dear friend who's come here. And he decided he wants to turn his life around. And every time I talk to him, I hear a bit of positiveness in his voice. Even though he doesn't have a home, doesn't have a job, he's got a plan, and he's working his plan. And every time I talk to him, I hear a bit of the positiveness in his voice. Which is, I'm so excited to share his stories and encouragement and why I'm trying to encourage him along the way, right? Because he doesn't sit there and go, woe is me, I don't deserve this, I can't believe this. My, you know, that kind of thinking would just keep him, right, in the place where he's at. He decided, you know what, there's more to life than this. There's more to life than this. And he said he came to this church and he heard about a God that loved him and accepted him. And he said, you know what, all right then, let me get up and walk. Let me get up and do what I need to do to get my life back together. Isn't that what it's about? And that's what comes from God. When God looks you in the face. That's why David says, I'm seeking the face of God. Not just because it's beautiful, because I love to be in praise and worship and all these things, but because I know that then that I have God's blessing, that I have his approval, that I have his anointing. And when I have that, friends, then nothing can stand against you. Absolutely nothing. And we don't have to be afraid. So we have the things that make us afraid. We have the legitimate fears and concerns of the society that we live in, right? But what we need to do is we need to take courage. And we need to be strong in heart. And sometimes I think King David wrote these Psalms because he knew that it was hard in his own life and he needed to be able to say that. But he also was the leader, right? And sometimes it took somebody as a leader to stand up and to say, listen, things may look bad now, but be strong, take heart, wait for the Lord. Be strong, take heart, wait for the Lord, right? And sometimes we need to say that. And we need the people who have been given that gift of faith by God to stand up and say that, even on behalf of others. And that's what I want us to do. When I talk about us being light in the city of Hartford, I want us to be the kind of people that stand up and says, yeah, I know it looks bad, and I know it looks rough. But we say, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. That we, like David, can say, I am confident of this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Some people say, oh, yeah, yeah, when we get to heaven or when Jesus comes again, then we'll see that. David says, in the land of the living, before I die, I'm going to see this. And I'm going to believe it. And I'm going to be strong in it and take heart. And I'm going to wait for the Lord. However long it takes, I'm going to wait. Because, friends, I believe that we will get glimpses of the kingdom of God. That's why we exist. That's why we form together to bring this new church into Hartford, this new expression of the kingdom. Our seed verse was Isaiah 61, where it says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Listen, I don't think that all of poverty is going to be solved. But I do believe that there are poor people who are going to hear the good news and are going to receive a blessing from the Lord. Psalm 12 says, God will always take care of the needy. Wow, that's a powerful promise, isn't it? God will always take care of the needy in Psalm 12. I believe we'll see it. I believe we'll see glimpses of it. And when it starts to grow, it will be there. What we're going to see is not the full forest, but we're going to see trees start to grow. And you're going to say, that tree right there is part of the kingdom of God, and therefore, it's going to last forever. A lot of things around it are going to fade and fall and be destroyed. But where the kingdom of God is being planted, that is going to last forever. And we're going to see that happen. We won't see everyone set free, but we're going to see some people set free. We're not going to see everyone released from their oppressors, but we're going to see some. We're not going to see every oppressor brought to justice, but we're going to see some that are. And more and more and more. You know what I'm saying? We're not going to see every wrong corrected, but we're going to see a bunch of them corrected. We're not going to see everything completely done, but we're going to see a lot. And it's going to be exciting. And it's going to bring glory to God. And it's going to bring healing and peace to this city. And if you believe it, then I invite you to stand with me. And if you don't, then go ahead and stand on the side and be skeptical. That's okay. You'll get to that point. But we're going to stand together. We're going to proclaim to the city of Hartford that we will see goodness. I'm going to believe for 2016. I'm going to pray in this prayer vigil God put in my heart to say 2016 is going to be better. It's going to be a better year. So let's mourn. Let's grieve. Let's remember the losses of last year. Hartford, Paris, around the world, California. Evil, heartache, loss, the racial tensions. And we're going to grieve and mourn that, but we're going to say, God, in 2016, let it be a year of peace, a year of blessing, a year of seeing things changed around. And that's what we want to stand for. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we get ready to go out and partake together in praying for the city, God, we pray, Lord, that you would be strongly present among us. That even today we might feel your presence. We might see your face. We might become aware of how powerful you are in our own lives. Lord God, that you would receive our adoration, our praise, and worship as pleasing to you. And that we might accept your acceptance of us. That you would increase our faith. That we might have courage and confidence in these dark days. To shine forth the light of Christ. To shine forth the light of Christ in a powerful way. Amen. What I'm going to invite you to do this morning is we've been trying out all different... Go ahead and stay standing. We've been trying to try out all different ways to collect our offering, you know, to help us. So we have four cans in the corner. So I'm just going to invite you today to put your offering, if you want to, in those cans as we take this break. Remember, there's the box for Deborah and her family if you want to give towards that. So that's how you'll give your tithes and offerings today. And again, going to help us in our ministry and supporting people. I've already seen God do great things with the support that you guys have been giving. And so what we're going to do is this is like a 15-minute break. And so if you want to go to the bathroom, those of you who need to pick up your kids, we want the kids to be able to come outside as well. And so we're going to convene in about 10 minutes outside, right by where our tent is. We would like each of you to take a candle, these little LED candles, and take one of those with you. So we invite you to give your offering as you go, to grab a candle, to take a little 10-minute break, and then we're going to meet outside, right out these doors, straight out the back at the corner of Washington and Vernon.